Everybody, blessing and peace on you. Troy Brewer coming at you strong from upstairs at Third Stage Ranch. I have my son is here with me, Brother Benjamin Allen Brewer. Can you say hello?
Howdy.
And then we also have a young lady all the way from Spain whose name is Allie. Can you say hello, Allie?
Hi.
All right, good job. Friends, you're going to love this because today, guys, we're going to be talking with my good friend, Brother Drew Neal. Drew Neal is a... Well, he's a solutionary. He is someone who does amazing things all over the world in business, in the prophetic. He is someone who loves Jesus with all of his heart, and you guys are so going to love this. Drew Neal is who's going to be joining me today. And this is actually an interview that he and I did together on the prophetic life. Now, the prophetic life is a community that I have, and it's subscription-based. And you can find out more about that by simply going to troybrewer.com. Again, troybrewer.com. All right, my friends, let's go straight into this, and I'll join you again at the end of this. Boom. Troy Brewer coming at you strong from my office. Just got through chowing down. Had really good, and I think we got, isn't this from Stone Soup? Isn't that what that's called? Stone Soup, Burleson, Texas. Man, guys, there's so many good places to eat in Burleson. Burleson is just... I mean, if you move here, you're going to be fat. And I just want to just tell you that that's what happens, because this place is great. This place has awesome food. Yeah, some of the best barbecue in the world at the Hard Eight. I could just start going through all the restaurants. And then, dude, they're building new restaurants all the time. And there's like some really cool bistro restaurants and some cool stuff, too. Anyway, guys, I bless you guys. I call you guys blessed today. Pastor AJ, we've already had an incredible day, haven't we, buddy?
Man, it's crazy how much... we get done in such little time, brother. That's crazy. But yeah, bro, we're going to have a great episode. Drew Neal is in the house. I just can't wait to continue talking about what you guys were talking about, identity and all that.
Well, I wasn't planning on talking about that today. We were planning on talking about what we're fixing to talk about. One of them is spiritual intelligence. Another one is emotional intelligence. And the last one has to do with financial intelligence, or what we would call maybe value intelligence, or, hey, man, being able to recognize the value in things. And then we got to grow all those things together. And he's actually working with us on our staff about these kinds of things. And I can't wait to share some of this with our prophetic life people and tell you guys, man, this is going to be good. This is one of those things. If you're watching this right now, or you're watching this in the archives in the future, I bless you and call you blessed and tell you that this kind of stuff right here will absolutely change your life. And Drew's going to bring it today. So do you have anything, man, you want to tell us before I let you go, or I'm going to join you again at the end? What do you want to do?
No, man, I'll just let everybody know a couple of details here at the end, but just once again, guys, welcome to the Prophetic Life. We love you guys, and we can't wait for what the Lord is going to do here in a couple of minutes. I'll see you guys in just a little bit, all right?
Okay. I will join you at the end of this. Okay, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Boom. Drew's got lots and lots of prophetic abilities, and one of his prophetic abilities is just stop what he's doing and just go, let's just let the Spirit of the Lord move, and then boom, God just moves. Like, wow, that's cool. We need to get better and better and better at that. He's actually good at a whole bunch of things, and you're going to discover that whenever we get together and talk. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. I can see that he's on, and let me see here, guys. Boom! Drew, what's going on, my friend?
What is going on, Troy? Hello,
man.
People.
I bless you, my friend. Thank you so much, man, for running with me today the way that you are, man. Thank you.
Yeah, it's my joy, my honor, Troy. It's impact, right? I'm very motivated out of purpose, man. And things that are intentional, I love those things, and excited to get into what we got today.
Well, I want to just wind you up and let you go, Drew, because we have we just started this a little while ago, and we've already got over 1,000 subscribers now, all these people that, and it's growing and growing. And what's real is people actually do want to live the prophetic life. They do. And people want to know, they want to have a true lens for the heart of the Lord. They want to have all these people have a tremendous value for the things of God. you're actually one of my mentors, and you're one of the guys that pours into my life, and you pour into the team, you pour into our team in a very intentional way. Come down once a month and meet with you every week over the phone. We have all kinds of discussions, and something that you're talking to me about right now that we have got to get our acts together as far as a collective is SQ, EQ, and FQ. Like, what are you talking about? Why don't you tell us what it is that you're talking about?
Yeah. You know, I think in general, there's, you know, many of our lives are siloed, you know, and we have these compartments that we try to, you know, place different experiences in our life. And these three sets of letters you just talked about really represent silos of our spiritual intelligence, SQ, our emotional intelligence, is our EQ, and then our financial intelligence, FQ, or you could say value. I use value, or resources can be there, because it's not just about money. It actually is about resource. And so ultimately, these forms of intelligence help us, Troy, to define the relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationships with others. But you know, we see them compartmentalized, Troy, and I've, you know, you've seen it. You've done it. I've done it. We've been in these moments. Like, here's an example is, you know, that moment where you really need to solve a problem and you're like burying it for like 3 or 4 days, and then finally like, oh yeah, maybe I should ask God about this.
Yeah, I do. I do know that.
You know, or, you know, it's like, oh, well, I'm at work and I'm doing this thing and it doesn't feel spiritual. So God must not want to be involved. And so I don't behave in a way that's faith active when I'm at work. Or, you know, maybe when I'm at church, I can't actually have a value conversation. You know, I couldn't talk about value because that wouldn't be very spiritual. So I'm being really spiritual at church on Sunday morning, which means there's all these categories of things you can't talk about, can't do. Money would be a great example. It's like, you know, sex and money are two of the things that we should be talking way more about in the church, so that we can actually champion those levels of our lives, because we, you know, and it's, why are we not doing that? It's because we're siloed. We've classified certain things as spiritual, not spiritual. And it's really the emotional intelligence that kind of binds all that together. In the unseen, who God is, and then the structures of the world. And then we have us in the middle of it all. And so we don't need to have those as silos. We need to converge those three things, that I be fully present in my relationship with God while I'm presently aware of myself and aware of how to have a valuable exchange with others. And so I'm excited about seeing that convergence happen. And I think, you know, we're going to spend some time talking about that today.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you, I think that, and again, I mentor people through this, and we're going to have a question and answer time here at about 1:20, 1:25-ish. It's 1:12 right now. And I want to tell you that just in working with me, one of the things that we constantly do is we're like, I'm very real about, okay, what are my major weaknesses? And I'm aware of weaknesses so much so that it can actually interfere where I don't have a big enough value for things I'm not in, because I'm so aware of my weaknesses, you know, and I it's something I have to battle, and it's something I have to work through. I have a very interesting relationship with Jesus in those places. Okay. And I really find God in those places, and I like that. But we were talking about, okay, I personally have a pretty good level at all three, but I don't know how to interact with people at a high level in all three, and I'm trying to be a better leader. So I think probably the spiritual, you know, the SQ, if you will, so my awareness of God, my relationship with God, how I'm hearing God speak is really well, and it's growing, but it's good. My emotional intelligence is pretty good, but my value intelligence, or my financial intelligence, or my resource intelligence is something I really have to learn how to walk in. Can we talk a little bit about resource intelligence and value intelligence and those kinds of things in connection with our walk with God and our walk with ourselves?
Yeah. So let's create a scenario here of like where these things really show up. Because ultimately, as prophetic people, we are all in a pursuit of wanting to maintain connection with God, so that we can hear as God hears, see as God sees, feel as God feels, right? We're trying to be connected.
Come on.
So that we can have an interaction, and then that interaction dictate my behavior. And so from a prophetic standpoint, let's say we're trying to get a word. Let's just use kind of foundational things here. I feel that I'm supposed to give a word to somebody. And so there's a process in there, right? Let's just talk about that process real quick. So that process would be, I'm inspired. Maybe I got a picture, I discerned, I perceived. Maybe I just see a flashing word. There's a lot of ways God can communicate with us. I'm sure you guys have covered all the ways God communicates. So I'm inspired. All right. And so God does that. God inspires me. After inspiration comes revelation. So now I need to understand, you know, what the hidden meaning is behind the thing that's obvious, you know? So it's like, hey, I'm inspired by, I see a picture of a boat. So then I get curious in that moment. I'm like, Lord, what's the revelation of the boat? So when the revelation of the boat is how it's anchored, what type of sails it has, if it's in motion, not in motion, is it manned, unmanned? Is it, you know, what's the revelation here behind the boat, you know, that's important for me to get? And then the next piece becomes much more human because it's interpretation. And after that comes communication, right? So God inspires and God revelates, and then me with God interpret and communicates. And so what we want to talk about today is kind of the step between what God is doing and where I'm coming in play. Because, you know, the Bible says we prophesy in proportion to our faith, right? So faith is the evidence, it's the substance of hope, right? And hope is the joyful expectation of good in my future. So faith declares what hope is willing to make room for. And we make room connected to our emotions, right? How I feel about truth, how I feel about God, you know, is very much a part of the process of how I release externally what I processed internally, right? So I can read the word of God and then I process that internally and then I can re-communicate it. And so it's in the distance there. So you know, the Bible says it's not what comes in a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of him that defiles him, yep. Right? So you can be exposed to all kinds of gross darkness, but if you have a strong internal operating system, you can flush all that and it not come out of you, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the growth opportunities we have as prophetic people is learning how to clear out that conduit of, you know, emotional baggage, disappointment, these different emotional things that cloud our interpretation and our communication skills. So let's just look at that distance there. If those are four steps, you know, inspiration, revelation, interpretation, and communication, let's look at the distance between two and three, right? How do I get from revelation to interpretation? Well, SQ, EQ, and your FQ are so essential because you got to understand how those operating systems work. Because I have to have a relationship with God so that when I interpret, it's according to his word. I have to have a relationship with myself to know how to implement it and regulate my life. And then in financial intelligence or value intelligence, I have to understand how to build a system that will be for people and not just be for my benefit, that would create interchangeable value. I need to create a kingdom marketplace, you know, which is where the communication piece begins to happen. And so if I don't have intelligence, a high level of intelligence, or at least a pure level of intelligence and awareness in this space, I will misinterpret what started from God and inspiration and revelation will now be misinterpreted. If it's misinterpreted, I will for sure miscommunicate, which ultimately means I misrepresent God in that moment. And so there's
so
a real need.
True.
I mean, 1,000 times true, right? I mean, this is the biggest conundrum in the prophetic movement that we're all trying to always maneuver through is how can we get more accurate? How can we get more aligned? And ultimately, this isn't a performance thing. This is a connection thing. How do I remain connected with God, connected with myself, and connected with valuable exchange? And so when we're able to really explore these things, we're able to interpret and communicate at a much higher level, which means deeper levels of impact, greater moments of transformation, greater moments of clarity when we're directing, correcting, protecting these high levels of prophetic outcome, destined words, they need to push through a clean conduit. So we prophesy in proportion to our faith. So faith sees. If I haven't seen something, I can't have faith for it, which means I won't prophesy it. And so my awareness of God, my awareness of myself in Christ, and my awareness of value out allows me to have a skill set when I begin to interpret so that I can see as clearly as possible and from a healthy point of view so that I don't give prophetic words that are for my benefit or controlling people or just exposing sin without really releasing a solution from heaven that would allow them to go forward in who they are. And, you know, there's all these things where when unhealthy people prophesy, it's a lack of intelligence and an ignorance or a roadblock or a crisis or a pain that's inhibiting their ability to actually be free and flowing and the actual thing God's trying to get us to. And so I've seen God speak. And when it's miscommunicated, it can literally break people's hearts. But it originated with God, but it was not going through a clean conduit, which means it ended up doing more damage than good.
Come on. Okay. So I was watching a movie recently. I'm trying to think what the name of the movie is. Has the big bear in it. And I love this movie. I've seen it, I don't know how many times. It's got Bart the Bear in it, who ended up killing his trainer. And anyway, their plane crashed up in northern Alaska or Canada somewhere, and they're trying to survive through the whole movie. Now that I said that, there's this place at the beginning of the movie where he's just talking about survival in the woods, and he says, "You know what everybody survives? Well, you know what everybody dies of when they die in the woods? Say what? Well, they die of shame. Why do they die of shame? Because they can't figure out how to live. They just can't figure it out. They just can't. Their lack of intelligence on how to operate in that environment is what kills them." And that's kind of how the movie starts off. And then, of course, he ends up having to survive in that, and he ends up being highly intelligent. I mean, wildly intelligent. All right. Now that I've said that, if you're going to navigate in the prophetic, you do have to have an intelligence about so many things. One of them is, of course, the Father's heart. So that's your SQ right there, right? I've got to learn, okay, if I'm going to speak up on behalf of the Lord into somebody's life, I got to know what his character is like, and I got to know what his heart is towards these people that I'm speaking to. And if I don't do that, I got no business prophesying. Just because I got a gift doesn't mean that I need to be able to operate in this. Okay, just because I got the ability to drive doesn't mean I should jump in anybody's car and just take off down any way down the road that I want to take off down. I have to have my own car, my own lane. I'd have to know how to drive, et cetera, et cetera. The second thing of that, whenever it comes to emotional, you know, your own awareness of your own self is exactly what you say. Okay, like when I was a very young man, I would notice that when I traveled with other young prophets, all the unmarried guys would only prophesy to pretty girls, and all the married guys would only prophesy to dudes because they were worried that their wife was thinking, why is he always, and it's like, okay. And I noticed that at a very young age. It's like, dude, we got to be able, this has got to be real. And we can't be freaked out over our own, our own stuff and bringing our own baggage or our own insecurities. We've got to be able to figure that out. When it comes to being, and again, it's a new term for me, but this whole financial awareness thing, which is very basic, of something that you just have to have mastery in. But again, you're not talking about value. You're not talking about finances as much as you are just about being able to recognize the value of the moment as opposed to, you know, whatever, or the value of that person, even though basically is there is potential except for how the Father sees them right now, or what is that value? You know, those, When you were talking about us, when you were talking to us today about these things, it totally wrecked me, because I've been a teacher for a long time and I've known these three things and didn't have the language for it until today. And I'm going to tell you, it's a game changer for me, Drew. I'm so excited about sharing it with everybody.
Yeah, I love that, man. And I think on that value, I think the word exchange is really important, that we understand beyond the money piece, that it actually is about value exchange. And understanding that, you know, we used to be able to just put money behind initiatives and then just make everyone deal with it. But there's a social intelligence now that's actually elevating quite a bit in the world, where we're realizing that we don't just want motion or function for the sake of revenue. We want impact in the world, which means that our function should support a social consciousness. And so because we're becoming more accountable, we're realizing we can't just exchange money. Money exchanging, you know, is just financial exchange is a weakness in capitalism. And I really believe that I am a capitalist, but I believe that capitalism focused for the benefit of people, truly in the essence of what it's meant for, can continue to change the world. It already has changed the world. But I know a lot of people who just go out and they make money because they can take advantage of a capitalistic market. Free market, I can go sell ketchup popsicles to people wearing white gloves, you know? Like, well, is it solving a problem? Is it dignifying that person with value? Do they really need that ketchup popsicle? Or is this just someone taking advantage to generate revenue? So what's exciting about, you know, a value intelligence truly is that we're realizing that we need to have a valuable exchange, and that we can still earn at a high capacity in the financial category when we understand how to do well by doing good, meaning I did right by somebody. I gave them more than they gave back to me. And understanding how that value set plays in is really starting to transform, because I have a revelation of who God is that then allows me to have a revelation of who I am in Him. And now I get to have a revelation of how to exchange that.
So good.
In relationship, so that everybody wins. And you know, I'm all about a four-win strategy. First of all, the kingdom of heaven needs to win. Yep. Then I need to win. Then my collaborator needs to win. And then those that I serve needs to win.
It's good.
And so value intelligence is about understanding how to have exchange at every single one of those levels.
It's so good. Time.
And so that's really a great way to learn how to make decisions. You know, so if I'm going to interpretation and communication, this is all about defining the relationship. This is all about how we're going to apply. This is how we get out of the theology of the kingdom and into, let's call it orthodoxy, and we get into orthoproxy, right? Orthodoxy is right believing. Orthoproxy is right practice.
So good.
And so, you know, inspiration and revelation is orthodoxy. You know, interpretation and communication is orthoproxy.
Yep.
And so we're in the two worlds of learning how to increase and become higher level practitioners of the kingdom in a healthy way, in a full way, in a mature way, and not just ministering out of our own need or out of a selfishness or out of a brokenness or out of a bitterness or out of a terrible theology. You know, a great example of that is, you talk about the God is good. You know, it's like, what if the word is correction? You know, correction can be stewarded a bunch of different ways. And we've been taught a punitive value system for correction that I believe is that, and we've placed that punitive system on God. But God's correction system is a restorative system.
Oh, right? It's so good.
He reconciles those who are lost. God's correction is not removal. God's correction is pick you up and set you back down on the path where you need to be. It actually restores you back to the path to correct. And so the value system there is different. If you have an angry God, punitive, I'm ready to beat you with the fly swatter any given moment theology, and the word that's coming is correction, you're going to interpret and communicate a punitive word rather than a restorative word. And so it's a big deal what we're talking about here. And it's changing the face of the prophetic movement right now. It's bringing maturity. It's bringing health. And we're realizing that we must champion awareness and growth in these three areas of SQ, EQ, and FQ so that we can actually do ministry responsible and have the impact we're made to have and prosper while we do it.
So good. All right. Well, look, we're going to go into some question and answer time. So whatever he says, so Mindy Lane says, really? You just said this is elementary? Where and how do you start growing in this? That is outstanding, Mindy. Love you. Welcome. This is a really good comment right here. Welcome correction rather than fearing it. It's a huge value for us. You want to speak into that for Brother Aaron?
Yeah, most definitely. People will welcome correction if it's actually for the benefit of their growth. And they know that you're more committed to their growth than isolation and separation. And so, you know, the idea has been, you know, when you make a mistake, that then I remove you from the environment of the mistake. I clean up your mess, and then I start to do what I hoped you would do. And now you're removed from this, and you are not allowed to be a part of this anymore. You are labeled, you're shamed, and we disconnect you from the process. So restoration says, okay, I need you to acknowledge that you made a mess here. I need to make you aware. You accept responsibility. And the moment the person accepts responsibility, now we have an opportunity for growth. And so now it's okay. So let's examine the mess here. And I need you to clean up the mess. And if you need help, just let me know. Right? So now the mess starts to get cleaned up. And the training that comes out of that moment is that the person gets to remain powerful and be restored in the process of making things right that they had done wrong. And so, man, in religion, we love to isolate people. But what's, you know, terrible is that when people are in isolation, this is the core value of deception. You know, it's impossible to be connected and deceived at the same time. And so we end up pushing people into opportunities where they can start a value set for deception. And what's the deception? Well, the deception is I'm not valuable. I'm not capable. I'm not worth anything. I'm not like all so many deceptive things come in. So when people need correction, we actually have to keep them powerful in the process so that the enemy doesn't have any footholds or open doors to come in and take advantage of an isolating moment where they're being told that there's something that they're not. And so a restorative value system says, I believe that you have the ability to clean up your mess and that in the midst of this, you can do that. So if you don't have a value system like that, if you don't see the process of God valuing people in the midst of their humanity, I mean, you want to talk about someone who got to clean up their mess? Peter got to clean up his mess, Troy.
Yes, he did.
He got to clean up his mess. Moses got to clean up his mess. I mean, all of these people, you look at David got to clean up his mess. You know, I mean, these are, you know, Troy, the people in the Bible, we would not follow them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
They would be disqualified from being leaders in a millisecond. We would not follow these people. We don't follow adulterers. We don't follow murderers. We don't follow liars. We don't follow, like, all these people would have been disqualified if we were the judges of their character. But God continued to requalify them and requalify them and requalify them and make room for them to be who they needed to become. And he kept them powerful through the process. And I tell you, we need to have that. And so once again, having that value set, seeing God for who he is, changes the way we interpret and communicate those types of things.
Well, it's 133. And I want to tell you, Psalms 133 belongs to all of us right this second. You know, I just call that out in a big moment of alignment right here in Texas. And that's all about unity. And it's all about the Spirit of the Lord being poured through somebody or something down to somebody else. And just, I believe that that's happening right now, Drew, that's happening right this second. I have so many comments and so many questions and so many things in here. People are really responding, including Nikki Cruz, who is a part of your mentor program. You actually mentor her, and she's also a part of this one. This is somebody who's going after it, right? Nikki Cruz says, where and how can we best elevate our financial intelligence? And so what does that look like? What do you think about that?
Yeah, very much so. I think if it's particular to money, the best in the world, literally in the world, is Jim Baker out of Columbus, Ohio. His financial program blows everybody out of the water. It is remarkable who this man is, what he has stewarded, the research that he's done, the theology that he has, the kingdom reality he lives in. And I mean, he will take Dave Ramsey, turn him upside down, and I mean, just 1,000 times over. And so I, you know, my personal observation is that Dave has a limitation, and it's a kingdom. It's a lack of kingdom revelation on how to multiply things. So Dave is a preserver. He's not a multiplier. And so I think there, you know, it's behavior management he likes to get into. And we're getting a lot of revelation in the kingdom these days about how to really live in the freedom of who we are, to double down on our strengths rather than double down on our weaknesses. And so Jim has really kind of taken the foundation that Dave has set and scaling it from a kingdom point of view in a way like I've never seen anybody do. And so wealthwithgod.com, Jim Baker,
wealth.
Big shout out to Jim. Wealth with God will change your life.
Wealthwithgod.com. Okay, and it's Jim Baker out of Columbus, Ohio?
Yes, sir.
Okay, right on. So wealth.
Okay, not Jim Baker PTL. This is Jim Baker with 1K.
Okay, 1K. That's exactly right. Brother Jim Baker from PTL is 2Ks. Right on. Okay, right on. 1K, Jim Baker, and he's out of Columbus, Ohio, wealthwithgod.com. I can tell you, just when it comes to financial intelligence, I've had to really ramp up on that hardcore because I've had such a poverty spirit. We actually identified something today just in going through things where I go, dude, I still got a poverty mentality when it comes to that. And I mean, you called it out. You said, dude, that's poverty. That's poverty mentality right there. It's an orphan's mentality. It's a whatever. It's a, I don't have enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not whatever enough. I'm like, oh, I see another one of those within me. It's like discovering another small army in my promised land that I got to deal with that was hidden in some place. Like, oh, be real about that hidden and do that. But I can also tell you that, what's his name that does fixing the money thing? I know this guy. I can't believe it. I actually know him. Anyway, he has a TV show. It's called Fixing the Money Thing. He is also awesome. I can't believe I just lost his name. Why did I do that sometimes? That's hilarious. He has been a huge help with me on dealing with financial things. I will tell you also that it is good for if you're somebody that, Gary, it's a K. What is it?
K-E.
Gary Kesey, anyway, on Fixing the Money Thing. And again, just because he's a pastor and he has a pastor's heart and he's all about, nope, you don't got to walk in that. You can walk in this, and this is real. And he's a very, very, very practical guy. And he's got lots of resources. So I've gone through all of his stuff and that's been very good for me on the financial end of things as well. And I mean, just, you know, if you can imagine 5 years ago, actually 2015. So we're talking about 6 years ago. 6 years ago, I was just struggling, about to go bankrupt in every single way every person could, in the biggest financial mess that you can imagine. And today, responsible for, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars, being in the right place at the right time. I have seven income streams. I have seven different income streams. I have a whole bunch of businesses that are successful. I have all kinds of stuff. That happened in a very short time. And there is a grace. There's a grace today where I was literally 50 years old before I had any sense, any kind of true financial intelligence. And I could have walked in it decades ago, but because of a religious thing in me, I didn't think I was allowed to. I thought I was cheating on the Lord if I had other income streams and all kinds of stuff. I had people tell me a bunch of bad things and I received a bunch of bad things. And I want to just tell everybody that's watching, we're in accelerated time frames, which means everything is speeding up. The closer that we get to the return of King Jesus, the more things speed up. Which means the bad news is if you're not saved and if you're not walking with God and if you're not redeemed, there's never been a day you can get so screwed up so fast as this day. The good news is that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And there's never been a day you can get things so right so fast as this day. And you can pray about this. You can get true resources within your life. You can get true intelligence in this and gain the power to gain wealth, which comes from the Lord, and it can happen quickly for you. It's real.
So
do you agree with that?
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And, you know, I think that obviously what you're championing in your personal life, what's starting to be the outflow of blessing that's happening in all the organizations that you're running. And what's happening, Troy, in my perception and really what I do for a living is I help people synchronize their what's to their purpose. You know, all those income streams are connected to what's their solutions that you're offering to the world. And, you know, the reason that we, you know, rejected making money as spiritual in the past is because the goal we thought was that anytime money was made, that I was the only beneficiary. And yes. What we began to realize that in the yes. kingdom, the it's reason crazy. We need to earn yes. is to solve a problem in the world and then continue and sustain it so that others can be the beneficiary of the blessing on my life. God's love for me is for me, but God's favor on me is for you. And so in the kingdom,
so good. Yes.
So much freedom in that. Brother, it's expensive to change the world, right? It's yes. like we just look at your P&L sheet and it would be a lot of people's dreams. But brother, you know, you haven't even scratched the surface.
It's true.
Because you're aware of actually what it takes to change the world from a financial standpoint. We need billions of dollars to move behind solutions so that we can change the world with an individual. That's each solution needs billions of dollars to actually have a global impact. And so, you know, some people are like, man, if I just had $1 million, you're yeah. thinking way too small.
Yep.
If I just you had sure. $10 million, way too small. If you want to change the world, we got to think at a higher level. And so we got to understand that money is not the goal. Purpose is the goal. And inside of purpose is me being able to focus and motivate my identity that allows me to offer my breakthrough to other people through products and services so they can benefit from my breakthrough. And of course, there's a financial exchange so that I can sustain what I'm offering to the amount of people that I want to offer it to. So it actually has nothing to do with the money as a motivator as much as it has to do with the strategic point of sustaining what it is that we want to go after. So it's, you know, people think that if they just make money, they'd be happy. And then they make money and they're not happy because actually money is never the point. Purpose and impact in people's lives is the point. But everything we do in the kingdom should multiply, which means money will be involved.
So good. Man, you guys are listening to my good friend. Oh, my goodness. Man, what do you think about Texas allergies, by the way? What do you think about all that? Isn't it amazing? You get here 5 minutes, just go, oh, man, what is a salt in my head? You know, it's like, yeah, that's exactly right. But guys, you're listening to my good friend, Brother Drew Neal, as he's helping us walk through the introductory of this concept of we have to have spiritual intelligence, emotional intelligence, and financial intelligence, which is actually also resource intelligence. Like a good example of the resources, why is it that immature children will leave their toys outside or leave things on the ground or not put them, because they don't understand the value of resource. They don't understand the value of that. They don't understand that, hey, I need to have intelligence about the value of this. That thing's worth something. That thing is worth something to me. It's something that has to be protected. It's something I need to be mindful of. It's something I need to recognize. And that takes a while. That takes maturity to learn those things. When I was a child, I did childish things. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. One of the childish things that we need to put away is any kind of understanding that says my relationship with God is based upon some kind of predestined thing and I'm not responsible for that in any way whatsoever. We need to put away any kind of any kind of immaturity that says how I feel and my emotional intelligence is based upon how somebody else treats me or what somebody else does. Put that in the trash because that's gone. And then also too, any kind of immaturity that says that finances do not matter and everything is just spontaneously happens by faith. We need to throw that in the trash as well. And I was talking to you this morning, Drew, about the reality of just when I work with a lot of, I started working last year with a whole lot of small church, tiny, tiny church pastors these churches were about to die. And I just rounded all these guys up and said, look, I'm going to support you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour into your lives. It fell apart in about, I want to say, 7 months. It took about 7 months for the last one to fall out. And the basic reason was because they thought whatever happened was a God thing. However they felt was because of how people were dealing with them. And whatever resources happened was because somebody else came in and made that happen. And they had no problem solving skills whatsoever. And I was like, I got so convicted and just went, I wonder how many of my problems, how many issues I have in my life because I'm just not committed to solving the problem. And I don't believe that I have a grace on my life to solve that problem. And I got so, I want to be a supernatural problem solver so that I can be the solution, in your words, to everybody else. All that is in line with what you're saying.
So good. And so what you're addressing there is, you know, and I think this is a great conclusion on the intelligences of what they're confronting in the church environment. It's first of all Calvinism, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. It is the victim mentality.
Yep.
And it is the spirit of poverty.
Yep. And by the way, socialism is all about all that. There are a few people that are elect, you know, that you get this part of everybody else. No, whatever you get comes from somebody else because you've been victimized. And then also too, you need to learn how to live in abject poverty. All of that is socialistic. All of that is, if I can just throw that out there, which again is like a model of what you do with people like that. It's a demonic model. And I find that all over the world. I see it, man. No, listen, we cannot be like that. We just can't. We got to be free, man.
Come on, brother. We got to be free. And go ahead.
I just want to walk in this, Drew. And I know that all these people do. And I want to go to the next level on all these things. And we have so many people. I get this guy from Argentina that's on here all the time. I mean, we have people in literally all four corners of the earth right this second are joining us on these platforms, and people are like saying yes and amen. Man, bro, can you please do a couple of things? Can you please pray for us? Can you believe God for a great big way? And then after you do that, after you speak over us, can you please point us to some practical things, how we access this, either from your stuff, from somebody else's stuff, or how that worked for you? Can you do both of those things for us?
Yeah, of course, man. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now,
Jesus,
that, Lord, we are one with you. I thank you that we are one with the one who knows all things. Mm. So, Father, this is not a litmus test on our intelligence, our ability to be smart. Lord, this is about being connected with the one who knows all things. And so, Father, we step close to you. We come close to you. And, Lord, as we see you, we will then see ourselves. As we see ourselves, we'll be able to in a healthy way, see others. And so, Father, I thank you, God, for what it is that you're doing. Even right now, the freedom that's coming, Lord, we break off these limited mindsets right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
These disempowering mindsets that that eliminate partnership. Father, these Calvinistic ideas that I'm a victim to God. I'm a puppet on a string, and I have no ability to be a bride. A powerful co-laborer. Father, I release the bride identity right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We break off this victim mindset. Lord, we break off the poverty spirit. Lord, that there's a lack and that I have to, that there's not enough. And so, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you don't just own the cattle in 1,000 hills. You own the hills too.
That's right.
And which means you can teach us how to steward the hills. Lord, we call you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, teach us to be the kings that you are the King of. Teach us how to be the Lord that you are the Lord of. Lord, for you, that's a good word right there for somebody.
That's a good word, man.
King of Kings, who are the kings he's over? It's you and me. We got to walk in our kingly and lordship, kingly identity, our lordship. So, Father, just release that right now, freedom and permission. Clarity, God, let it come right now and confront these old mindsets that we'd walk in the freedom of what's available in the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare an increase of spiritual, emotional, and financial intelligence In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, man. Praise King Jesus. Okay, come man. On, so if people want to plug into your stuff, man, how do they do that, buddy?
Yeah, so I have a mentorship program where I help founders, leaders who want to change the world and build a solution that will solve a global problem. I believe inside of the gospel is the ability to solve the world's greatest problems. But to do that first, we have to master our identity and master our purpose. And so I help founders and leaders who want to become a solution really learn how to converge these three things. And we will build an internal operating system to govern your internal world so that we can change the external results in your life, align it with purpose, get out of these competing commitments. And so we'll build the five internal controllers. We're going to help you get a full 360-degree lens so you can see as God sees. We're going to bring in the prophetic. We're going to bring your strengths. We're going to bring in all these great assessments together. And in a group, a private group with me, a small group, you'll have the chance to walk out this mentorship program. It's my level one mentorship program. And I'd be honored to mentor all of you in a way that would allow for you to become a solution in the world using your prophetic skills as a way to do that. So solutionarymentorship.com is a way to do that. Be honored to have you guys join me.
Outstanding. Well, my friend, hey, thank you so much, man, for joining me today. And it's always a privilege, man, to have you on the Prophetic Life. It's a big deal, man. Thank you.
Oh, Troy, honored to be here and bless you all and excited to see how the freedom that's experienced in this moment plays out in your life.
Thank you so much. Okay, man. Rock on. Guys, the amazing Drew Neal, now Pastor AJ, who I just tell him about every few minutes. Hey, man, will you go do this? You go do that? I mean, he's an executive pastor here. He's got so many jobs. He's got so many responsibilities. I'm like, hey, man, can you stop for a minute and go do that? Hey, man, can you stop for a minute and go do that? Thank you for not being mad at me over that,
man. Bro, it's okay, man. That's what, I mean, this is my identity. This is what God called me to do. So I'm doing it, man. I'm just walking in my purpose. So,
my God, no. Listen to that language he's using.
That's bro, amazing. I mean, come on, man. I'm learning from the best.
Come on, AJ. All right, bro.
You know what I've been doing that? It's because I have been reading that I am. Come on, bro. Yeah. Just trying to plug it in there.
Yeah, I'm going to be preaching on that. I'm going to be using that this coming Sunday. And I'm going to be going through all of that stuff this coming Sunday. If I can just, again, because it's a private group, I'll tell everybody, man, we are fixing to take on the calling that we have in saving boys and girls out of sexual trafficking. We're about to take it all on in the form of, we want to help you save your own kids from being sexualized and from being just ravaged by the things of this world. And how do you porn proof your house? How do you do that kind of stuff? How in the world? And I mean, it's something we talk about here all the time. And as a matter of fact, Drew and I are working on something right now that's still in the top secret freight, that's still in the top secret phase. That's going to actually, it's something that will actually, it's a tool to help people do that as far as literally porn proof their house, their actual house. How in the world can you do that? We got an idea and we know how to do it. But then also too, man, we got the word of God. And we also have, did you hear him say, brother, that sex and money are two of the things that we always avoid talking about, but it should be two of the things we're talking about the most, because we want to champion that part of our lives in a way to where we have mastery in it and go, no, that's man, right. I don't, listen, man, we want this to be valuable to us, and we don't want it to be detrimental to us. Amen. That's really good. I enjoyed that.
So, that's right, man. It's usually those are the two taboo topics that they're never talked about in churches and things like that, because everybody's so afraid. It's like that. Oh no, don't talk about that.
Am I afraid? Am I afraid to talk about any of that?
Heck no, man.
Oh, bro, heck no. Don't sit there and act like you're a eunuch. I know you're not a eunuch. Man, you better have Jesus in life, so you better have. Right on.
You're like my dad, bro. One time they were like, we had this gig in Mexico, and they were like, hey, Pastor Gene, please don't say anything about the cartels, God, because that's their, and it's called like the Santa Muerte. Please don't mention that because they're going to kill you. Okay, yeah, it's not a problem. And it was an outside gig. and we're done with our gig. And then my dad gets the mic and it's like, I just want to say in the name of Jesus, we cancel every spirit of the Santa Muerte. And I'm like, oh my God. Like,
that's like, so your dad.
We're going to get shot.
That is so your dad. No, I know your dad. I know what a trouble he is. I know what a troublemaker he is. Pastor AJ, I have a 2 o'clock meeting and I would imagine you probably have something else to do besides just, you know,
be with us
all day. So,
I do.
All right. Hey, man. Hey, listen, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm grateful, man. Thank you. Love you, brother.
Love you, brother. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. I'm going to let you go. Call you guys ahead, not to tell, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Thanks so much for joining me.